Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this morning, this Easter morning, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that all of you are here this morning as we come to celebrate this Resurrection Day. Just would like to remind you, if you are visiting with us this morning, please take the time and fill out the visitor's card in the front of your pew, and you can place it in the collection plate as it makes its way around, so that we'll have the opportunity to know that you are here visiting with us this morning. Just a couple of announcements. Just to want to remind folks that on Saturday, April the 6th, which will be next Saturday, there will be a neighborhood cleanup beginning at 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. If you want more information about that, there is a flyer on the bulletin board out in the hallway. So it's always a fun opportunity to come together to clean up the neighborhood and to make this neighborhood a more presentable place. So again, that's going to be on April the 6th, 9 from 11 a.m. Also, just reminding folks that there will be on April the 8th, the 13th, the annual tea gathering for the Presbyterian women. That's always a wonderful time for fellowship and fun. So again, that's going to be on April the 13th. There are other things happening, of course, here at Albany Presbyterian Church, including Bible study on Wednesday night. So please take the time to read your bulletin, as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading this morning comes from the Psalms, Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2, and then again 14 through 24. It is found on pages 531 and 532 in your pew Bibles. Let us listen to God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Hark, glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our gospel reading will be taken from Mark's gospel. We'll be reading chapter 16 of the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 8. So, it is found on page 886 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices to that so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It's the word of the Lord. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We're going to proclaim that on this beautiful Sunday morning. At the end of the service this morning, after our affirmation of faith, we will proclaim that outside on the steps in front, so the whole neighborhood will be able to hear the good news pronounced to them that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. I always give thanks for the women in the gospel narratives. Every year on Easter morning, we follow them to the tomb, the place where Jesus was laid to rest on Good Friday. And every year, they are the ones who discover the stunning good news of the resurrection, the stunning good news that turns the world upside down, that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. This year, we are reading from Mark's account of the resurrection. Usually we read from John's account of the resurrection or one of the others, and I kind of like John's account of the resurrection best. Indeed, I like all of the other gospel narrative accounts of the resurrection. Mark's is not my favorite, because Mark ends his gospel in fear. All the other gospel accounts have Jesus appearing to his disciples. In John's gospel, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden, and then he appears to his disciples, and he appears on the beach, and it's a wonderful, wonderful account. Mary goes and she tells the rest of the disciples when she meets Jesus, she says, "I have seen the Lord," and she goes and proclaims that. In Luke's gospel too, Jesus comes to his disciples after he is resurrected from the dead, and he goes and meets with them in the upper room. And as two of his disciples are leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, he comes to be with them and he shares a meal with them. And again, the resurrected Lord is made known to them. And of course, Matthew's gospel, the resurrected Lord declares to his disciples to go into the ends of the earth and proclaim the good news in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But Mark's resurrection narrative ends in fear. It ends in verse 8, as we read this morning. You'll probably say to yourself, wait a minute, Randy, there's 12 other verses in Mark's gospel, 12 other verses where Jesus does appear, but those were added later. The oldest and most reliable manuscripts have the gospel of Mark ending right there at verse 8, the women being afraid. According to Mark's gospel, it's the first day of the week when three of the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, make their way to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord. Their only concern, of course, was the stone. Who was going to roll away the huge stone sealed to the entrance of the tomb? The stone had been placed there in order to ensure that none of Jesus' followers would steal the body. And in Matthew's gospel, Pilate wants to make sure that the stone is there in order to keep debt secure. And so that's what he said, make the tomb secure, make debt secure, make the tomb secure. And so as the women here in Mark's gospel make their way to the tomb, that's their concern. Who's going to roll it away? But as they get to the tomb, to their great surprise, they find that the stone has already been moved and the tomb is empty. And there's a young man, presumably an angel, who tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because Jesus is risen, but go tell Peter and the rest of the disciples to go to Galilee. Go to Galilee and you will see him. Go to Galilee and you will see the resurrected Lord. But instead of the women saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise God, Jesus is risen from the dead, we are told that they say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. It's remarkable when you stop to think about it. I know some of you have been involved with the reading the Bible in 90 days challenge, and I don't know if you've quite gotten to the Gospel of Mark yet, but you will notice that in Mark's Gospel, Jesus performs a number of healings and mighty works. He heals a leper. He heals a man who can't hear or speak. He performs a number of exorcisms. And whenever Jesus heals someone or does something, he tells them not to go say anything. He sternly warns them not to tell anyone anything. He says the same thing to his disciples on the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus is transfigured before them, and as they are making their way down the mountain, they can't wait to get down the mountain so they can go share and tell everyone what they have seen. And Jesus sternly warns them not to say anything until after his resurrection. But the more Jesus says, don't say anything, the more people go and they blab. They go tell. Every time Jesus heals someone, the people go and they share it. Even though Jesus warns them, they go and they share it. They want people to know what Jesus has done for them, how he has healed them, how he has rid them of their demons, all the wonderful things that Jesus has done. But now, we are here at the end of Mark's gospel. It's the first day of the week. Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried. And the angel tells the women, don't be afraid. The Jesus you are looking for has been raised from the dead. This is your opportunity. This is your big chance. Go tell, go share. Share the good news. Share the good, wonderful news about the resurrection, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. But the women say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. They are afraid of the good news. They are afraid of Easter. And we might say, why in the world would these women be afraid? Why would they be afraid now? Why would anyone be afraid of Easter? Why would anyone be afraid to share the good news? Why would anyone be afraid to make known the power of the resurrection, the power of new life? Why are they afraid? Have you ever been afraid of something? Have you ever been afraid of Easter? I confess this morning that I understand the fear and amazement that have gripped the hearts of these women. Sometimes I'm afraid of Easter. I like things to be settled and predictable. And there's nothing more settled and predictable than the power of death, is it? Death is the reality that governs most of our lives, and we have all made our accommodations with it. We've all made our compromises with it. We've all gotten rather used to it. The great tragedy of the human condition is that everything and everyone that we love is one day going to die, including ourselves. And it is in the midst of this reality, of life lived in the valley of the shadow of death, that the powers of death speak to us. The power of death is constantly telling us to be afraid. Be afraid because you can't trust other people, especially those who might be different from you. The power of death says that your days are numbered, so the only thing to do is to grab all you can and don't share anything with anyone. The power of debt says, be careful. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to speak up and say anything that might jeopardize your career, that might jeopardize your life. The power of debt says, eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow you die. And when you are dead, you are dead. When you are dead, that's all there is. So be careful. And we all do that. We all make our peace with death. We all make our accommodations to the power of death. But if it is indeed true that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then everything has changed. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, the world has been turned upside down. And we are not quite sure we know what to do with it. And so we become afraid. We become fearful. I was watching a program not long ago about a man in his mid to late 50s, I suppose, who had spent most of his adult life in prison. He was sharing all the perils and dangers and hardships of prison life, and he knew prison life well. He'd been locked up for over 30 years. And then one day they came and got him, and they told him, look, you're out of here. You've done your time. You've been here for 30 years. Time for you to go. Time for you to leave the prison. But instead of being ecstatic and joyful, the man was afraid. Afraid of change. Afraid of freedom. Afraid of the new life and possibilities that awaited him. He was afraid because prison life was the only life that he had ever known. He had been there for 30 years. He'd gotten quite used to it. He had made his peace with it. He had accommodated himself to life behind bars. And so he did everything he could to stay in prison where it was safe. At least he understood it. At least it was something he knew about. And I think that's true with all of us. We've all been imprisoned by the forces and powers of death. This is all we've really ever known. But now Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and that's frightening. Now there's a possibility of living in a world other than a Good Friday world. The women knew very well what that Good Friday world was like. They had watched from afar on Good Friday as Jesus was mocked and beaten. They watched as he breathed his last breath. They watched as he was placed inside the tomb. They knew what we all know. That when you're dead, you're dead. But the only thing more terrifying than a world with Jesus dead was one in which he was alive, and they knew that. And so when the angel tells them to go and tell and not to be afraid, they are indeed afraid. Afraid of the possibilities of new life. Let's face it, we live in a world that is deeply terrified of Easter. I think one of the problems we have, those of us in the church, is that we've gotten rather used to Easter. We become familiar with it. It no longer raises the hair on the back of our necks. We hear Easter proclaimed, and it no longer fills us with any kind of anxiety. It no longer makes us afraid. It no longer moves us very much one way or the other. We tend sometimes to believe that the significance of Easter is about our going to heaven when we die. That God raising Jesus from the dead is the assurance that when we die, we will go to heaven. That's what Easter is about. And that's okay as far as it goes. But us going to heaven when we die isn't what strikes fear in people's hearts. It isn't what makes the world afraid. The world could care less about what happens to us when we die. The masters of the world are more concerned about this world. They are more concerned about the here and the now. And the significance of Easter is not about, or just about us going to heaven when we die. The significance of Easter is about heaven coming down to earth. The significance of Easter is about change. It's about new creation. It's about the surge of new life. That's what Jesus was at his resurrection. He was the first fruit of the new creation. And what God has done for Jesus, God has promised to do for all of us, and indeed for the whole world, to make it new, to recreate it, to heal it, to make it a place of new life and new possibilities. And that's why the big part of the Easter message for us this morning is the message that the angel gives to the women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the power of life. Don't be afraid to be resurrection people. Don't be afraid to be people of mercy and love and forgiveness. Don't be afraid, because we already know where the future looks like. We already know that the forces and powers of death do not have the last word. We already know that the world belongs to God, that the world belongs to Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid. But we are often afraid. I like what Park Renshaw says in a wonderful sermon on this passage. He notes that the women are paralyzed, that something has gone terribly wrong in their mind, or at least something has gone terribly right. When they get to the tomb, they can't decide which one it is. The men are afraid. They've already run away, and now the women are terrified. But one thing they knew somehow, that it was clear to them and to the world that nothing would ever be the same anymore. It was going to be a whole new world. And so Renshaw notes, he says, in raising Jesus of Nazareth from the dead, God showed us the world according to God. In Jesus Christ, the world is a new world. It is a world where the meek do inherit the earth, even when they don't have a deed to it registered in the courthouse. It is a world where the poor in spirit have the only riches, and among the poor, the bread is blessed and broken, and everyone has enough. It's a world where everyone knows that enough is a feast. In the new world of the resurrection, those who mourn are more than comforted. They dance before the Lord with their dead, often while they are still grieving. It's a world where the peacemakers know themselves and everyone else as children of God. And the merciful know what mercy does. It turns our enemies into sisters and brothers and causes weapons to rust and corrode or to be transformed into tools. It's the new world of the resurrection. That's the world that much of our world, and sometimes even us, are afraid of. We say we believe in God. We say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We say we believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Yet often deep down inside of our hearts, the powers of death speak to us, and that's what we believe. We believe in the powers of death. We are afraid of the powers of death. We allow the forces and powers of death to rule our hearts. We allow the forces and powers of death to govern how we live. We allow the forces and powers of death to cause us to be afraid of each other and afraid of sharing and afraid of opening our hearts. We listen when the forces and powers of death tell us, "You can't believe that. You don't really believe that nonsense, do you? You don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. You don't really believe that, do you? You're smarter than that. You're more sophisticated than that. You don't really believe that love is the most powerful thing in the world, do you?" But we still hear the words of the angel. "He's not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead." Someone said, what is being addressed to us every Easter is that deep place in our hearts, that deep place in our souls where we decide who we will be, how we will live, and whom will we trust. Will we trust what the angel tells us? Will we trust that in the power of the resurrection? Or will we believe what we hear on the news? Will we believe that death has the last word? Will we believe that what we have to do is go and run and get our guns? Will we believe that what we have to do is to make sure that our bank accounts are flush? Will we believe that the most necessary thing to do is to build our fences and build our borders? What will you believe? Who will you trust? The powers of death or the power of life, the power of the resurrection? I've always been a little bit weary of Mark's gospel here, because Mark leaves his gospel open-ended. He leaves it open-ended for all of us. Go, he tells the women, go tell the Lord's disciples to go to Galilee. Tell them to go to Galilee, and they will see the resurrected Lord if they go to Galilee. Galilee, you'll remember, was the place where it all began. It's the place where Jesus first started. It's the place where Jesus called his disciples. It's the place where Jesus began his healing. And now the angel says, go to Galilee. But he's not just talking to the women. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to all of us. If the women are afraid, then someone's got to tell it. If the women are afraid, someone's got to proclaim it. Someone's got to make the good news known. Someone's got to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. Somebody's got to go to Galilee and start the journey all over again. But this time, to walk without fear. To this time, walk with trust. This time, do the things that Jesus himself did, knowing that Jesus is going before us. You and I are the people who are called to Galilee to live this story out again, this powerful resurrection story. And unlike Jesus' first disciples, who were bumbling and stumbling and uncertain and unsure all the way up to the crucifixion, even after Jesus had been telling them again and again and again how the story was going to end. You and I know how the story is going to end. You and I have heard the angel. You and I have been to the open tomb. You and I have seen the stone rolled away. You and I have seen the linen cloth. You and I have heard the stunning good news. He's not here. He's risen. He is risen from the dead. Will we too be moved with fear and leave silently and not say anything? Or will we make our way to Galilee to proclaim the stunning good news of God's new creation, of God's new healing? The world needs you and I this morning to go there. It needs us to go to Galilee to proclaim that good news, because that's the only way the world is going to see it. They're only going to see the resurrected Lord when they see it in us, when they see it in you and me, when they see the way we live our lives, when they see the way we live with each other, when they see the way we love each other, when they see the power of love and life and forgiveness and reconciliation being lived out among us. That's the story of Easter. That's the story of that Mark wants us to hear. No nice bows, no Jesus resurrection stories. Just go to Galilee and we will see him. And we will see and hear the stunning good news once again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I don't think y'all believe that. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed.